gentlemen, introducing, weighing in at 215 pounds, from Yucaipa, California, a man who needs no co-host, a hardcore wrestling fan who walks alone, steel chair in one hand, microphone in the other, looking for jobbers to squash, the man who will never rule the world, but may very well take over the podcast universe, this is Kevin Dye!
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Dye's podcast, the first podcast right here, Kevin Solo on the Dynamics Reel Network. It's all me, all by myself. Throughout the weeks, we'll probably have some guests, special features going down. But for now, this first episode is just me, by myself. I'm at work right now, and I'm just going to talk about wrestling for this episode. This is a late episode. I was going to record this last Monday or Tuesday, and I got very sick, didn't get around to it, was getting really lazy, so I decided not to do it. But today at work, I was just like, heck with it, I'm gonna do this. It may be a late episode, but we can get this rolling, because just like my workout schedule, day one, day two, day three, they don't mean much. But when I'm on Facebook and I'm telling people I've been going to the gym for 300 consecutive days in a row, it'll mean something. It shows dedication. So to just get this rolling is what's important. Now, I laugh because Jim says I'm going to take over the podcast universe, and he might be right, because I have a lot of good plans. I'm not just doing this one podcast. There's another podcast coming up, which should be up sometime this week, called A Work in Progress. The first episode is going to be strictly SummerSlam reviews, people talking crap on WWE, people praising it. SummerSlam's actually going on right now. I'm going to have to watch it later, but there will be no SummerSlam talk in this episode as planned. I hope it turns out good. I really do. But if it doesn't, you know, it's not the end of the world. I mean, it was only $9.99 to watch it. I've had the WWE Network since February, and I don't think it's that bad of a deal. When it came to pay-per-views, $60 a month, I feel like a lot more people were stealing and streaming pay-per-views. And now that the network is up, it's definitely putting a lot more legitimate watchers in the WWE universe, which is good for Vince McMahon and corporate and all those people way up there. So speaking of WWE, this episode is going to be pretty outdated, because the Raw and TNA impacts that I will be talking about, you will recognize, are about 2 weeks old. And, well, just the impact. The Raw isn't that old. The way I'm going to switch this up, though, the way this episode works is the Raw and TNA impact. The TNA impact aired first, and then I went with the Raw the following week. And then the next episode I'm going to do is going to be the same thing. I'm going to go with TNA impact from this past Impact, plus this upcoming Raw after SummerSlam. And I'll probably talk a little bit about SummerSlam in it. And starting the week after that, since Impact is officially moving to Wednesdays, I am going to start talking about Raw and Impact within the same week. Now that they're much closer to each other, I can get the podcast out early Thursday with both of them in there. It's much easier that way. So I don't know when it's going to happen, but the third podcast is probably going to be about Impact, Raw, and the following Impact. Moving on, I want to talk about Bram versus Abyss. Now, when I saw Abyss, the first thing I thought was, what the hell does he have on his face? That is not Abyss. But at the same time, I was surprised and happy that it wasn't as much of a Mankind ripoff. But again, I didn't know who Bram was. I hadn't been watching Impact for a while. I had lost complete faith. In fact, this podcast plan is the only reason I started watching TNA again, because I wanted to compare the two products that I expected both to just completely fail and be a waste of my time, and I would be moving on the topics before I knew it. However, I was wrong. Bram versus Abyss was an amazing match. I couldn't believe it. When I finished that match, I was hooked. I was ready for more. I thought, where the hell have I been? Why have I not been watching Impact? Bram, Abyss had a lot of great spots in that match. The thumbtacks were incredible. When Mankind brings, when Mick Foley brings out thumbtacks, most of the time Mick Foley is landing on thumbtacks. And I'm sure it's happened a lot of times where Mick Foley didn't land on thumbtacks, but when you put him in a mainstream situation, he usually is the one thrown on his own thumbtacks. However, and that's the thought that I had when he brought him out. However, when I saw that Bram got the thumbtacks, I marked out. I couldn't believe it. And it wasn't, you know, it's thumbtacks. It's nothing new. It's been done before. It's, they're recycling what works. It was definitely an ECW-inspired show. But to see someone get slammed into the thumbtacks, that I wasn't expecting it, because maybe they didn't want to. They were afraid as a performer, and Abyss was just going to take the fall for the fans to heat up the match, reactions. When I saw Bram land on the thumbtacks, it made me really happy that the competitors in TNA are willing to go that extra mile to show that they want to be the big guys. They want to be WWE. They may not be anywhere near WWE right now, but they want to do it. They want to be able to say, hey, remember when WWE used to be on Monday nights? They're not trying to put WWE under, but I can feel that these competitors really, really want to be big. And if any one of them were to get offered a WWE contract, I have faith that they could be a very good asset to the company. Moving on from that match, I remember looking at the Mr. Anderson segment, and personally, I started to lose my hopes when I saw the Mr. Anderson segment, because I felt like this storyline is a filler. Nobody is being taken serious within the storyline, and I feel like no one likes the fact that they're in it. The match was short, but on top of that, the performance was so low-key, dumb. I wasn't buying it. I was buying the fact that they didn't want to be there. I was buying the fact that if Vince McMahon called them all tomorrow, they would just breach their contract and leave. It felt like a filler storyline. It was terrible acting. But at the same time, I felt like nobody was motivated and wanted to be a part of that match or that storyline. I believe that Mr. Anderson can be used better. But at the same time, I'm starting to feel like they put Mr. Anderson in a lot of good stuff in the beginning, and after that, they had trouble figuring out what they could do with him. So maybe Mr. Anderson, maybe a new character, maybe a new gimmick. You know, WWE's Chris Jericho was very good at being a chameleon and just completely switching the way he acted. Like, he was the same man, but he was a completely different character when he took Shawn Michaels and threw him face first into the Jeritron 5000. Like, that was an amazing switch. Like, wow, it's still Jericho, but damn, like, he changed. He completely changed, and I think that's what Mr. Anderson truly needs. I think that there's no reason to have Gunner in tag team competition. Put Gunner in the singles competition. He's great for the hardcore style stuff they're trying to do right now. Mr. Anderson should definitely be in the singles as well. Sign more known tag teams. Sign more indie tag teams. Stop forming originals and start signing the tag teams that fans want to see in TNA. And that is not like, it's not like I watched the Bram and Abyss match and went, yeah, and then I saw Mr. Anderson and said, screw this, and turned it off. That was basically the only part of the night that I was really, really disappointed in. Another part of the night that made me very angry was the lack of faith the New York crowd had in MVP. Now, I know I might get flamed for this. I know people might think MVP sucks. He's a piece of crap. He can't talk. He has no mic skills. He can't wrestle this or that. From what I've always liked MVP in WWE, I wasn't too thrilled when I found out he was going to TNA, because I was afraid that certain wrestlers in TNA would be getting budget cut, paid less in favor of MVP, and I didn't think that MVP was worth that. But when I saw him on the mic, I was actually quite entertained. I'm not a big fan of Bobby Lashley on the mic, and seeing MVP there doing the mic work while Bobby Lashley is champion was a very smart move on TNA. But the way the fans were interrupting and chanting crap and just distracting the whole moment, you could barely hear MVP, it killed it. And then the fans went nuts when Bobby Roode came out. And don't get me wrong, Bobby Roode is a good competitor. I like Bobby Roode as a wrestler, but I don't think he has any mic talent whatsoever. He really annoys me, and the fans were going nuts. And I'm like, really? You had MVP, who was doing a magnificent job on the mic. Just brilliant work. And then you got this guy who can't talk, and it's like Jack Swagger came out and started to talk. Like, really? Just because he's the face, you're going to cheer? You're going to do the robotic thing and listen to the signs in the crowd that says cheer? No, I don't think so. I think they need to get a voice for Robert Roode. I'm not saying Robert Roode shouldn't be in the main event picture, but I do think someone needs to represent Robert Roode. And maybe Mr. Anderson can represent Robert Roode, because Mr. Anderson is amazing on the mic. Mr. Anderson is an amazing hype man. Maybe Mr. Anderson wants to be the main event man. Maybe Mr. Anderson wants to be the champion. But Mr. Anderson is exactly what this story, you know, Mr. Anderson would be a brilliant addition to the Robert Roode MVP and Bobby Lashley feud. And that's another problem I have with Bobby Lashley, is he kept himself out of the wrestling picture for a while, that I almost forgot what the hell his name was. But moving on from that, I enjoyed TNA Impact. I really did. I especially enjoyed Dixie Carter going through a table, the Team Dixie ECW, Team Bully ECW hardcore match that was before that was brilliant. You know, seeing Al Snow was funny. It was definitely a nostalgia setup match for the fans of New York to go nuts over. I definitely enjoyed it. It was really good. I felt like you could definitely tell that Bully has a lot more left in him compared to the rest of the people in the match. But at the same time, they all did very well. Al Snow impressed the hell out of people. He was no Chris Jericho that one year he came back in the Rumble and the fans were chanting, "You still got it." And he screamed, "I never lost it, baby." It's not that good, but Al Snow definitely still has it. And I enjoyed the match. And Dixie Carter going through a table had terrible acting. I was about to shut it off, but I thought, why not? Watch her go through a table. I heard about it. I read the results just like everybody else does these days. And I wanted to see Dixie Carter go through a table. And I did. And personally, even with the bad acting, watching Bully and D-Von do that, putting a woman through a table thing that they so well, you know, everything was so well back then, but made famous in WWE and removed because of, you know, women's rights groups and, you know, feminists and all the problems that revolved around that, which I understand. I'm not, you know, going to say WWE was stupid. They definitely made the right choice. They definitely prevented a lot of lawsuits that could have happened out of that story. But it felt nice, and it definitely brought a lot of nostalgia back from that Dudley Boys era of WWF, back when it was WWF and now WWE. And even with the bad acting, it was great. And I hope now that Dixie Carter is supposedly written off of TV. I don't know if she is. We'll find out. I hope they do something for Rockstar Spud. But again, we'll find out. I hope they do something for Rockstar Spud. But again, I haven't watched this week's Impact that just happened last Thursday. So maybe Rockstar Spud is running around like an idiot still. You know, it's funny, but it's a disgrace to the talent that he has. And, you know, I don't know, because I haven't watched that Impact yet. I hope they are going to change what he represents. I hope they're going to use him the right way. I really do hope that. But if they don't, it's not the end of the world. as long as they get rid of Dixie, because Dixie, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I was more entertained by Vicky Guerrero. Dixie, it's not that Dixie has an annoying voice like Vicky Guerrero. She's just not believable at all. She's really annoying. I felt like she was more obsessed with being on TV than actually doing what's best for business. The thing I like, and that's the thing I like about Triple H and Stephanie, is they're not completely in character. They're more of like, the Authority is the corporation with the comic edge to it. Like, one second they're serious, but they have their moments with the WWE Network only being $9.99 and, you know, promoting certain things like video games. And, you know, they go in and out of how bad they are to how serious they are as far as business goes, which is, I enjoy that. It's very entertaining. Let's get on to the Raw that I watched. This is the Raw before SummerSlam, so it's almost the most recent Raw, because by the time anyone really hears about this, it'll probably be tomorrow. I'm recording this on the Sunday, the day of SummerSlam. It'll probably be up for you to hear for the post-Raw SummerSlam, when this episode has nothing to do with the post-Raw SummerSlam, because I have no results in my head. I haven't been on the internet. Well, I haven't been looking at results. So this Raw is pre-SummerSlam Raw, and I really like the Bella McMahon feud. It's really cool. But I thought that cheating angle, like when I saw the IGN interview with Daniel Bryan and he called that angle of Bryan cheating stupid, I completely agree. Because it's not that it's not believable. It's just been done so many times, and the way it was executed last Monday was terrible. It's been terrible every time they do it, and why keep doing it? It's stupid, especially if you're not going to keep it going and really, you know, increase. Like, the only time it was funny, the only time it was degrading, the only time it was entertaining is when Vince McMahon and Trish Stratus had their little thing. But every other time seems to be a copy of that or just a lame execution of that. I didn't like it. I thought it was a waste of space. It was a filler, obviously. Nothing we can do about that. They needed time filled. I get it. And then, I'll see you at SummerSlam if you post Bell. Like, that was just, you know, dumb. But I will say that hearing Stephanie McMahon scream, yes, 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 was funny, and it brought me back to the Attitude Era time. So I felt like they kind of stepped into the Attitude Era realm when she was screaming yes, but I highly doubt that means we're getting an Attitude Era all over again. I highly doubt that means we're stepping back into a Ruthless Aggression era. I still think we're stuck in the PG era. I don't think we've fully gotten out of that yet. Regardless to what they say, I think we're still stuck there, and I hope things change. The Rock angle, when they did The Rock versus John Cena, it was a little better. They definitely kind of mixed PG with Attitude Era, since it was kind of the feud, you know, new generation versus old generation. But I mean, they definitely need to step out and cross some more lines. TNA is trying their best to do it, but I think WWE does it better, and I would like to see them do it. Let's see if I'm forgetting anything, because I have talked a lot about Impact. Hardly anything about Raw. I'm 19 minutes now into this podcast. We're almost done here. Going through my notes just to make sure I didn't forget anything. Oh, Paul Heyman. I have to talk about Paul Heyman before I bring this to an end. I have to say, the Paul Heyman rap that he did at the beginning of Raw was so entertaining. I hate it when they take so much TV time for a stupid promo. But Paul Heyman got a lot of laughs out of me. If you didn't like that, if you were screaming, "Show me wrestling, this is stupid," I enjoyed it. You can flame me, I don't care. I enjoyed Paul Heyman being an idiot and rapping on stage. The John Cena segment was amazing, because I don't know how he did it. He got the fans. He got the fans to chant Cena. Like, it was amazing, because you either hear little kids chanting Cena, or "Let's go Cena," And then you hear the adults chanting, Cena sucks. And you could just hear everybody chanting Cena. And I was like, wow, you know, he really let out this angry side that everybody was happy to see. So do I think it's the step away from PG? No, I don't think so. Unless Brock Lesnar somehow becomes WWE champion tonight, and I know it's the plan, I have some doubts that that's what's going to happen. And again, by the time this airs, it might sound stupid because he might be the champion, but I don't care. I don't think he is going to win. I think John Cena's going to win, and in that case, everyone's going to go, well, he posted it Monday. He already knew John Cena was going to win, so that's why he said it. No, that's been my prediction all along. I don't think they're going to give it to Brock Lesnar. I think all of that, for one, I think they have plans to put Roman Reigns in the title picture sooner than WrestleMania, because I don't think Roman Reigns is going to main event WrestleMania. I think he's going to be buried before then, because all the great talent that they get gets buried at some point, and we'll just have to wait and see, right? I love Roman Reigns. I don't have doubt that WWE is going to do the right thing with him. They're doing the right thing with him now, but I think they're going to mess it all up. And maybe they messed it all up at SummerSlam. Maybe they kept it going at SummerSlam. I personally, regardless of what happened, what I've missed, I think that the Roman Reigns Orton match was probably amazing. I'll probably be talking about it. My friends will probably be saying it sucked, but I think it probably went down pretty damn good. And the Hulk Hogan celebration was great until Brock Lesnar and John Cena came out. Brock Lesnar came out, and I was thinking, sweet, some legends are going to get F5'd. And then I was expecting John Cena to come out for the save right before Hulk Hogan was going to get F5'd or something. But no, they just had Hogan and Lesnar go face to face, and then Cena came out. It was a really dumb angle, and I know it was to kind of finish the whole when Brock is done with his dinner, he's coming home thing that Heyman said at the beginning of the event, but it wasn't executed very well. So, not much else I can say about that. I enjoyed the Paul Heyman rapping. I enjoyed John Cena coming out and saying the bad John Cena is going to be at SummerSlam, and I hated the Hogan celebration. Well, I like the actual celebration part. I hated the part that involved Lesnar and Cena, because to me that just killed the vibe, and it really disrespected the moment all for a story. But overall, I really loved it when he ripped off the shirt to reveal the NWO shirt. I always love NWO reunions. They don't need to come back officially, but a reunion is nice for someone like me who just loves the NWO angle, especially the original WCW Monday Night Wars NWO. That was the best time in wrestling, and that is when I got into wrestling. So that literally concludes my notes. I skipped a couple things, but I mean, the only thing I really skipped was I don't think TNA is going to get canceled like the rumors or the truth was predicting. I mean, they got rid of Vince Russo, but more importantly, I think that showing that Impact moved over to Wednesday shows that they came to an agreement, and even though they're still on the same contract and it may just be for the rest of it, I think that they're going to stay on Wednesdays. And if the worst case scenario, TNA is going to be bought out by Spike TV, that's the worst case scenario in my opinion. And it won't be like, it'll just be simple like that. I'm not going to put anything else on that. So it'll either be just a switch, a renewal, or Spike will buy TNA. That's the only way I see it. Anyone who thinks that Global Force Wrestling isn't going to happen, it's going to happen. I don't know if they're going to get a decent TV deal, but there's no way Jarrett's going to try to buy TNA at this point, especially since he has so much invested into his new company and so many backers that he doesn't really need to get involved in TNA anymore. So that is 24 minutes, 24 seconds, and counting. And I've got nothing else for you. That's all I've got. I'm not going to do an email. I do have an email, but I got so much crap connected to it that I would rather you just tweet me on Twitter. If you have any questions, if you have any things of hate or love to send my way, if you want to have a podcast on my network, considering that I'm just starting the network, it's not the most amazing podcast network out there, but I'm definitely willing to help anyone out there who wants to work on a podcast but maybe doesn't have the same amount of time that I have. If you want to do a podcast, it doesn't have to be wrestling. You can do anime, you can do toys, you can do video games. I don't care what you want to do, just hit me up. We're going to do at Dynamics Real. That's R-E-E-E, that's R-E-E-L. The whole word, Dynamics Real, D-Y-N-A-M-I-X, Dynamics, D-Y-N-A-M-I-X. N-A-M-I-X, Real, R-E-E-L. That's at Dynamics Real on Twitter. You can, and it's not like, oh, that is so real. It's like a reel of tape or something like that. We are a entertainment enthusiast company. We're getting into post-production, Dynamics Real. So as a part of that, we're starting podcasts. So that's what this is. So if you want to be on our network, if you want to be a part of Dynamics Reel, if you just want me to give you a shout out, feel free to. I'm thinking of doing a short podcast on Fridays. We're talking like a three minute podcast that is no more than me giving shout outs for Twitter accounts or websites. So if you want to be a part of that, if you want me to put you on the Dynamics Reel Follow Friday, basically. It doesn't have to be Twitter, though. It could be anything. It can be your Facebook page. It can be your Twitter. It could be your whatever it is that you want me to shout out. You could have an indie flick on Netflix that you want me to tell people about. I don't care. I'll do it for free. Just let me know. 3 minutes. I'll crunch in as much as I can. And I'm not going to go and spell every last one out. Like Dynamics Reel, D-Y-N-A-M-I-X-R-E-E-L. But I will definitely, in the post on the Facebook page and Twitter, do a proper posting of how to spell everything that's mentioned in the podcast. And there's a train going by, but perfect timing, because it doesn't matter. This is the end. This was Kevin Solo. And until next time, do whatever the hell it is that you do, because I'm out.